Rain splatters the succession of black Mercedes-Benzes and Bentleys arriving at the cemetery. Everyone in attendance pulled their most somber sedans out of the garage this morning. There are no flashy red coupes or ostentatious sport utility vehicles today. Rich people know how to put on a show, and today is all about show. But despite the dark clothes and the umbrellas, not a single tear rolls down a single face as attendees climb out of their cars and make their way toward his gravesite. The rain cares more than anyone present, myself included. A woman stumbles, her heel catching in the mud, and my arm shoots out to break her fall. She glances up, murmuring thanks. Everything is gray around us. The sky, the rain, the headstones. Even her copper hair looks almost silver in the clouded light. The world is 100 muted shades of nothing, except her eyes. They are bright, glittering emeralds against the day's gloom. Even after 5 years, I'd know them anywhere. A lot has changed. I've changed. Maybe she has too. But those eyes are the same. Nothing registers on her face as she turns to accept the hand of her companion. He leads her to the front of the crowd where she belongs. With them. I skipped the service and the viewing. I'm not here to pay my respects. I came to see him put in the ground. I came to smell the dirt as it hits his coffin and seals the fate of the McLean family. Business can be attended to later. I want the pleasure of watching a man fade to nothing but a legacy. A legacy that I intend to destroy. But that's not the real reason I'm here. It's a perk that I made it back to town in time for the funeral. A priest says a few words. The rain continues to fall. When the ceremonial dirt hits the coffin, I'm watching the redhead. She doesn't flinch. She doesn't look away. I guess she didn't change after all. Adair McLean, the only woman I've ever loved. That bitch, she's the real reason I came back. An hour later, I pull into the paved circular drive of Windfall, the McLean family estate, and hand the keys of my Aston Martin to a parking attendant. Judging by the slight bulge protruding from the left side of his cheap blazer, he's doubling as security. He scopes out the vanquish appreciatively, before his eyes skim over my Italian wool suit, pausing at the Breitling on my wrist and sweeping to the black Berluti's on my feet. Nodding toward the house, he steps to the side. It seems the only identification they're checking is material status. That's a mistake. Mourners are distracted, some by grief, some by preoccupation with social responsibility. The McLeans suffer from the latter. People hosting a funeral have blind spots. Ever wanted to see inside someone's house? A funeral is a perfect opportunity. Thieves, paparazzi, and assassins all know it's an inn. Need to get a high-value target? Kill someone close but easier to reach and wait for their funeral. Not that I killed Angus McLean, even though I would have liked to. I'm guessing I'm not the only one. The former senator had no shortage of enemies. Some he'd made on his own. Others he had inherited along with the family newspaper empire. For every legitimate bit of journalism he had, he owned 10 tabloids. His television networks ran more propaganda than an army recruitment office. But it wasn't his business practices that made me hate him, although they didn't help his case. It was that he was a soulless son of a bitch. Maybe he'd had a heart at some point, but he sold it for a fortune that amassed $5 billion. Then he'd gone to Washington to protect it at all costs, like his father before him. That was then. This is now. And I'm the devil come to collect. A smile crooks across my face as I survey the kingdom I'm about to take. The McLean estate sprawls as far as I can see in every direction. 30 years ago, Angus McLean built it for a couple million dollars. Today, it's worth 10 times that. And yesterday, I bought the lien on it.